got his ears on us. Thing he watches where their ears are pointing.
Dr. Temple Grandin strokes the muzzle of a brown fox trotter in the arena of the Pauline Whitaker Animal Science Center on the University of Arkansas campus in Fayetteville. She'll be giving a public talk here later. Wearing her signature jeans, cowboy shirt, and scarf, Dr. Grandin's expression relaxes as she focuses on the horse.
You know, horses and cattle are prey species animal, and their senses are designed that while they're grazing, they can constantly be scanning the horizon for something that might eat them.
Dr. Grandin appears equally vigilant, rarely smiles, her light blue eyes scouting her environment. She was born autistic, a developmental disability that can cause significant social, communication, and behavioral challenges. As a toddler, she didn't speak. Instead, she would rock back and forth and make sounds or pitch thrashing fits. The year was 1950, the place was Boston, and children with autism were often institutionalized. But a very perceptive mother and insightful teachers eventually helped this little girl progress. Grandin is a prominent author who lectures widely on the so-called autism spectrum and animal welfare, and her goal is to reach as many people as possible.
Well, I like the results of the conferences. When people tell me, well, you know, really learned so much of your talk or one of your books, you know, saved my kid in college or something like that, then that makes me happy.
But in this case, happiness is relative. Emotional gratification doesn't matter much to many people with autism. They're not neurologically wired for it. Other things matter, as you will hear. Dr. Grandin just arrived here from Fort Collins, where she teaches courses on livestock handling and facility design at Colorado State University. Her scientific research is published in peer-reviewed journal articles, as well as books. She's keenly aware of burgeoning concentrated animal feeding operations and consults on humane livestock and meatpacking methods. Her unusual guidelines are now implemented by over half the U.S. cattle industry. Major poultry and swine integrators are also listening. In fact, her visit here was sponsored by Tyson Foods.
I did a little survey, and it was a long time ago when I did it, where I showed airline passengers pictures of sow gestation stalls and pictures of just finisher pigs on slats, and two-thirds of the public did not like gestation stalls. Since then, there's been two scientific studies that came up with the same result, and the Proposition 2 out in California passed by a two-thirds majority. You know, so keeping an animal for most of its life in something where it can't turn around, that just crosses an ethical line that two-thirds of the public have got a problem with that.
While in Northwest Arkansas, Dr. Grandin met with Tyson personnel to teach best management practices for poultry, including alternatives for egg-laying hens, typically confined for a lifetime to small metal cages.
And I'm really excited about this new colony housing system because you're going to be able to get some density so you can keep the cost of the eggs down, but then the chicken's going to get some amenities like a private nest box and perches. And that chicken wants a private nest box because when you think about it, when chickens were out in the wild, the one that laid their egg in the clearing, the fox ate that one. But if the one that went and hid, it didn't. So not having a private nest box for the hen would be sort of like having a hotel room with no door in a really bad part of town.
Placing an anthropocentric spin on animals is what Dr. Grandin does best because, as she often says, she's hypersensitive and tends to think in pictures rather than language, as animals do. Another autistic proclivity.
We've got to be working on animal welfare, and a lot of animal welfare things are simply good management. Let's just take the broiler house, for example. You know, when it's the summertime, you got lots of ventilation, so the atmosphere quality is going to stay good. But in the wintertime, sometimes a house gets closed up too much, and then you get mucky litter, you get footpad lesions. That's bad. You've got to have good management.
Still, Tyson's working to improve conditions, having staffed an Office of Animal Well-Being. Director Kelly Falsgraf is a doctor of veterinary medicine.
We're training our team members before they start their job on how to properly handle animals. We also conduct routine audits in our facilities to make sure that the practices and procedures that we're training to the team members are being followed and that the animals are being handled correctly. And that's where Temple comes in, is she's the one that started with me back in 2000, training me on how to evaluate animal welfare, what to look for, how to troubleshoot. Many times I go to some of our plants if they're having trouble with animals moving in a particular area and ask me to help identify what is scaring them or what is making them apprehensive so that we can change the facilities to make the flow of animals a lot smoother, keeping them as calm as we possibly can. So as she was training me in animal behavior, without me knowing it, she was also training me in autism.
Dr. Temple Grandin's visit was also sponsored by the Northwest Arkansas Autism Support Group. According to the Centers for Disease Control, autism affects as many as one in every 110 children in the United States, which means an estimated 1.5 million Americans may be affected with autism or Asperger's syndrome, a milder form of autism.
Well, when you look at the science, autism is a true continuum, and Asperger's is on the milder end of the continuum, but it's definitely not a separate condition.
People with autism and Asperger's often lack social empathy, crave solitude, and may engage in ritualistic behavior. But rather than a disability for many people on the functional side of the spectrum, their autism may provide for unique abilities, creativity, and genius.
Well, you see, autism's a matter of degree. A little bit of the autism trait give you a brilliant scientist, an artist, or musician. Too much of the trait, and you've got a lot of handicap. You see, social circuits, to make you really social, that takes up a ton of processor space in the brain. You get rid of a few of those social circuits, then you got more circuits to do things like math and art with.
Or in Temple Grandin's case, science and writing. Government statistics suggest the rate of autism is rising as much as 17% annually. While science investigates genetic and possible environmental causes, Grandin says parents must do everything they can to engage their autistic children because autistic characteristics can be controlled and modified. And she says she's living proof of that.
I mean, half of Silicon Valley has got some degree of Asperger's. You know, Einstein today would probably be labeled autistic. You know, if you got rid of all of the autistic genetics, we just have a world of social yakety-yaks, and you wouldn't even have electricity.
Or things like recording devices. By the way, Temple Grandin is a huge NPR fan.
Oh, yes. I have my car radio permanently tuned to public radio, and I have an hour and 15-minute trips to the airport all the time, and that's usually what's playing.
If you do happen to be watching television August 29th, you'll likely catch a glimpse of Dr. Temple Grandin strolling the red carpet at this year's Emmy Awards. Her life story is so compelling that HBO's produced a new television biopic called Temple Grandin, starring Claire Danes. It was nominated for 14 Emmys, including Outstanding Made-for-Television Movie.
I read a lot of scripts. I spent about 3 or 4 days with Mick Jackson, the director. He came and visited me. The writers came and visited me. I spent at least a week with the writers. Claire Danes became me. I mean, she really deserves to get Emmy for this. It was like really weird watching Claire Danes become me in the 60s and the 70s. I did have a chance to get down on the sets. I mainly worked on the cattle stuff. I had a lot of input into the cattle stuff to make sure it was accurate. And they did an absolutely beautiful job. And I loved seeing all of my projects perfectly recreated.
And this movie, Dr. Grandin said, clearly conveyed how she thinks in pictures.
That was shown absolutely accurately. It showed sensory sensitivity problems, which can be a big problem even in milder versions of autism, problems with sound sensitivity, sensitivity of fluorescent light flickering. And it also showed the anxiety problems because the movie showed me before I took antidepressant medication. I've been on antidepressants for 30 years, and that stopped the horrible anxiety attacks.
Liberating Dr. Temple Grandin to pursue her research, writing, teaching, and traveling, which has caused certain celebrity. But unlike most celebrities, Dr. Grandin uses her growing fame as a means to an end.
I consider it a responsibility. And I take that responsibility really, really seriously.
But what does Temple Grandin do when she's cut loose from her critical responsibilities?
Oh, I like to go to the movies. Always been a Star Trek fan. All the Star Trek movies, I've seen those. I went out and saw Avatar twice, thought that was a fantastic movie.
She also loves a good comedy. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.